Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
So let's give Angela a big round of applause. Come on, Angela. Woo! Good.
Gate crashed today already. And I'm like, do I go with it or do I just go with what I've got here? And just one of the words that I just felt like God wanted to speak over us and declare over us is that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's not just one of those, oh yeah, I hope this will happen, I hope. It's like, no, because our hope is in Jesus, who is forever faithful. And whatever he's promised, we are going to see. And today, like, God's been speaking to me so much. And just to give you a bit of a backstory, I didn't know I was preaching until Tuesday. And I normally, you know, need at least 2 weeks, 3 weeks to prepare in advance. And I feel like I am in that perfect storm when everything is going on. I feel like I'm about to give birth and I'm still having to do this. And it's like, God, what are you asking from me? And I was just reminded that actually when we choose to follow God, it's inconvenient. It really is. Because on that Tuesday evening when we had a leaders meeting, I said to Clive, oh, by the way, I got a text that I was preaching. I'm not, am I? And he said, yes, you are. And I was like, I don't want to. Irene, do you know what's going on in my life? You know, there's so much going on. And I had that choice to say, you know what, I can't do this. I can't do this. But Clive just spoke into all of us that we either choose him or we don't. And it's like, it really, I just want you to know that if you want to see God break out in your life, you have to position yourself to be used, because that's when the anointing flows. That's when the anointing flows. And we want to see God break in, don't we? In our lives, in our families, in our neighbourhood, in our church, in Islington, in London and beyond. It's like, we got to get serious. And today, so, yeah, right, so I'm going to go back to my preach now, but that was what was on my heart. And I felt like, just prepare yourself. You know, those words that were shared earlier. I really believe that God has got freedom for each and every one of us here. Things that you have battled with all your life, wrong mindsets, because you know what? Transformed lives start with renewed thinking, with renewed minds, and God is wanting to break in. And there's only one person who holds the keys to your prison, and that's you. Because God has given you the keys. God has given you the keys, and it's up to you. And it's, God is here today. He is wanting to say, come on, I've given you the keys. Do you want to unlock that door today? Because I am here. Do you want to see the goodness I have for you today? Because I have got it here more than you can ever imagine or believe. So today, I want to just watch time here. So I'm going to teach on the word sozo. And I know I've talked about it. I know some of you have been in the sozo training that I've been doing over the last year. And I just want to tell you that sozo appears in the Bible around 100 times, and it's in the New Testament, and it's a Greek word. But in our English translation, it's translated in different sections of the scriptures. Sometimes it's used to represent saved. Yeah, we're all aware of what saved, being saved. You know, when we receive Christ, we're saved. But it also means healed. Healed, physically healed. And it also means delivered. So delivered, set free. It's about being made whole. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't want us just to get that ticket to heaven. He wanted to heal us. He wanted to deliver us. He wanted to live that life that he died on the cross for us to live. Amen?
Amen.
So for you who, you know, can jot this down, you can go back and study this. But just to give you some examples of where that word sozo is translated, there's Romans 10, verse 9. And saved is where it says here that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. And that word saved is actually sozo. Matthew 9:22, it says this, but Jesus turning and seeing her said, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well. And that word made you well is sozo. So sozo also means healed. And then Luke 8:36, it talks about the demon-possessed guy. It says, those who had seen it told them how the man who had been demon-possessed had been healed. Again, that word is sozo. So sozo also means delivered. Amen. So I just want to just do a really quick overview of the Bethel Sozo Ministry, because this is something I've been learning in the past, actually, just before COVID hit. And I've been learning and I've been teaching others as well, because the tools are so powerful in unlocking and releasing captives free. So just to give you a little bit about what Sozo, the Bethel Sozo Ministry is about. Well, Sozo is actually a unique inner healing and deliverance ministry, and it helps Christians to deepen their relationship with God. Who wants that? Who wants that? Amen, church. Because we do it using the tools by healing the wounds and replacing the lies that we've believed with God's truth. Because right there an exchange happens. Sozo is prophetic. It's guided by the Holy Spirit. And sozo helps to uncover the roots that are keeping you and me from living that life of freedom and fullness. And it does it by healing our soul, freeing our life from those, you know, distorted views and strongholds and core values, those lenses that we see life out of, restoring us back by connecting us to Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Sozo is simple, it's fast and effective. And sozo equips and enables you to walk free and fulfill your destiny. Who wants that, church? At the same time, sozo is also a lifestyle, because you can use sozo tools in everyday life on your own. And we don't just want individuals, you know, physically healed. It was just amazing, wasn't it, to see God heal last week, Swaley. It was just amazing. But God wants to heal us, you know, spiritually, emotionally. He wants to get to the root of why we do the things that we do that don't line up with what he's called us to do. I've experienced so much freedom myself through using the tools, and it's led by the Holy Spirit. And I've also had privilege to practice on others. And some of you out there, and it's been amazing to see God set them free from just, you know, wrong mindsets, strongholds, unbelief, things that, you know, you've just carried and you didn't even recognize until Holy Spirit's like shone that light on it. It's like, come on, you can let that go. And it's been amazing, and that's why I'm passionate about going after this, not only for myself, but to bring others alongside with me so that we can together see captives set free. Because we want to be the answer to those suffering, don't we? And the Sozo tools helps us to go in really quickly, really easily, to find out the issues, to find out the wounds, the lies that we've been believing, but we do it in a really safe and honouring way. Because let's face it, we've seen it, we've heard it, we've been through it, where a lot of times people come out of inner healing and, you know, they need more healing after that, yeah? And it's so much nicer to honour people, to create that place that they feel safe, because they're already scared, because they think you're going to expose their sin. But our heart is not to expose their sin. That's not what God's heart is, and neither is our heart, because sin is actually the symptom. Sin is never the root. Sin is never the issue. Sin comes because of the roots, and sin is because of the wounds and lies we've believed. And that's what we want to do, to take care of the wounds and the lies, not to cut people open and say, let me show you how bad a person you are. No, that's not how it is. So why Bethel Sozo? There's a lot of different deliverance and inner healing ministries out there. But what I love about Sozo is that it is church-based and it's minister accountable. Clive's 100% behind this. And yeah, the tools get to the roots so quickly. You know, you could literally be praying for someone here up at the front and you can see that person get free. And it's such a gentle and honouring way to minister to people. We also have Sozo teams. We're trained, we're mentored by experienced team members from other churches. So you're not on your own. You're being overseen, you're being guided. And what I love is that it is Holy Spirit led. Because we're only doing what the Father is doing. And Sozo is not a counselling based type of interaction, but it is a time of interacting with Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Sozo is all about the presence of God. And basically it helps that individual hear God for themselves. So being a Sozo minister, it's actually just amazing. Like the first time I did it, it's like I didn't know what I was doing. I literally had all my notes in front of me and just followed it. And I was petrified, but God just saying, you're just that bridge. You just need to stand in that gap. And that's how I see myself. That, and for you as well, you can do the same. It's just standing in that gap. God does the rest. You just need to be obedient and be available. And the other thing I love is that this, you know, what it does when you see that person set free, it just releases them to hear God for themselves. You know, and it doesn't encourage that whole codependency, which, you know, we've all seen. And it can be draining and unhealthy, especially if you're doing, you know, deliverance and you're ministering to others. It can be such a heavy burden. But this way of doing it, it just releases that person to hear from God themselves. So today, I just want to teach on, because there's lots of tools in the Sozo kit. And the key one is actually the Father Ladder, and that's what I'm going to teach on today. And we've got a little treat for you later on. You know, we like to practice what we preach, so we are going to be doing some activation at the end of this. And so just prepare your heart. You know, as I'm speaking, I know Holy Spirit's speaking to you now. And don't just dismiss it. This is your time where God has given you keys to set you free. So what I want to talk about before I go into the Father Ladder, which is one of the main tools in Sozo, is actually I want to talk about forgiveness. Because forgiveness is key to our freedom. Forgiveness is not a tool, it's actually a command. It's a command. And during Sozo sessions, it's very important to prepare our heart to forgive those who have wronged us. Because most people don't understand what forgiveness is, and they have a hard time forgiving those who have deeply wounded and hurt us. They'll say things like, well, it wasn't fair, you know, it wasn't right, or how can I forgive them? They do not deserve it. Yeah? If these responses sound familiar, you need to know this. Forgiveness does not mean what they did to you was right. Forgiveness does not mean what they did to you was right. And forgiveness does not mean that they get off free. Thirdly, forgiveness doesn't mean you give up all your rights. Unforgiveness, though. unforgiveness, because we think, oh, if we hold on to unforgiveness, this is what will happen. Well, unforgiveness does not hurt the one who harmed you. I think someone needs to hear that today. It hurts only you. And what it does, it binds you up and puts you in a prison of torment. Have you gone through something and it's triggering over and over and over again? That's a stronghold. That's a prison of torment. There's likely to be unforgiveness there. Often, unforgiveness causes us to hold on to bitterness, hatred, and anger. And what it does when we hold on to unforgiveness, it blocks the fullness of God in our lives. However, the good news is coming. Extending forgiveness does the following amazing things. Number one, you get to step out of the way and let God have direct line to that person. Amen. It also means you're relieved of the burden you've been carrying, some of you for years. And it also frees us from that prison of torment. That's where it comes. The freedom comes and it closes that door which allows the enemy to have access over you. And it allows us to say, I choose to give you grace. I choose to let this person go into God's hands. I am not going to be their judge. You're probably, you know, as I'm talking, you're thinking, yeah, but I've forgiven that person. And I still get that picture and I still feel like I haven't. And the thing is, when you're leading another person in forgiveness, you're letting them hear God as to who they have to forgive. And they may say, but I've done this already. And if this is the case, then you need to explain that you're searching for another strand of the same wound. And it is helpful to ask this. What did your heart feel owed? The unmerciful servant, can you remember in Matthew 18, was so determined that the other servant needed to pay. Mercy knows what is on that invoice, okay? Maybe you have an invoice for £1 million, okay? And that person needs to pay. He owes you £1 million. But you know what? This person says, I am broke. I have no way of paying it. And mercy says, okay, you owe me this amount, but I am going to cancel this debt. That's what mercy is. It's not denying that they owe, but it's saying, you know what? I am going to cancel it. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. And often our hearts long for things that others cannot give. This was such a big lesson for me. You know, when you have a loved one and you expect them to be this person, to be your protector, to be your provider, to be your soulmate, to be the person that you trust, and they hurt you, and you know what? You can be going over and over again. It's like this person continues to let you down in this area. And I'm not saying, you know, if it's something that's really, really bad, I'm not saying you don't get out of that relationship. But if it's certain things that actually that person is not capable of giving to you, but only God can, that's what I'm talking about. That often we long for things that others cannot actually give us. But the good news is that Jesus is willing and able to be all those things that we need. Amen. Because when we're forgiving, we often think we just need to forgive that person that's hurt us. But as I've been having sozos, I've been learning sozos, as I've been ministering to others using sozo, often, you know, it could be ourselves that we need to forgive. You know, someone that may have, I was listening to this story, and there's a woman who was sexually abused, and she was able to forgive the attacker, But actually, she couldn't forgive herself because she blamed herself for putting herself in that position. Or maybe it's God that you need to forgive. Not that God does anything wrong, but you might have expected God to come in that point and rescue you, but he didn't. Maybe he's doing it in a different way, but you expected him to come and be God for you in that situation, in this way, and he didn't. And we often can hold on to that disappointment. And again, we need to just forgive God and let him off. It's powerful. It's going to set you free. So I'm just looking at time. Okay, right, I'm going to go skip a little bit. So I am just going to talk about the father ladder. So what's key to sozo in terms of sozo deliverance is that the person chooses to forgive. And it's the person who renounces the lies. And it's then, as you hand over those lies, we receive God's truth. That's where the deliverance happens. It's in the exchange. So the main goal of sozo is to connect the individuals to heaven's truth. And we do this by forming strong connections with each member of the Godhead. By discovering what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit think of us, we're able to remove the lies and that hinder our physical, our spiritual, and emotional health. You know, sozo isn't just used to heal emotional and inner and spiritual healing. It's also known to heal people physically too. And Father Ladder is one of the main tools, and as I'm going to talk about it, Sam's going to be just sending on WhatsApp just a little diagram of what that Father Ladder is, so you've got it in front of you later on as well. So the Father Ladder is a tool that clarifies the connection between wounds and lies that have been learnt through childhood, because you know, those first 5 years, that's when we start learning and developing a lens we're going to see life out of. God created family. Yeah, family is God's idea, and family represents the function of each of the Godhead. So we've got Father God, we've got Jesus and Holy Spirit in our lives. And when our family members, our natural family members, do not understand or unable to fulfill the roles that he's given us in our lives, it actually distorts the view of Father God, Jesus and Holy Spirit. You know, we are made body, soul, and spirit, okay? And each of these areas, the body, the soul, the spirit, we are made to have specific needs. So the body, to start with, has that need for identity, value, protection, and provision. The soul, which is the mind, the way we think, we feel, the emotions, the soul has that need for communication and companionship. And finally, the spirit needs comforting and teaching. And we believe that these needs were placed in us by God and exist from conception to death. And our needs are valid because God created us to have these needs met. But because we're living in a fallen world, you know, we've all fallen short. And, you know, many of us have wounds and lies that we've believed because of that. But the good news is that Father God, Jesus and Holy Spirit can meet our needs. Amen. Because he is perfect. We've found that each part of the Godhead has a role in aiding the development of healthy individuals. So the father is the member of the family. This is your earthly father, is the member of the family who's responsible for your needs, for the body, needs of the body. He's the one who imparts identity and value to his children. When a dad is not around physically or emotionally to let his children know who they are, children become confused about who they are and their value and identity. It's fathers who are responsible for the provision and protection of the family. In a healthy family, when children feel scared, they look to their father for safety. You know, if there's a burglar breaking in, you don't send your mum to, you know, deal with the burglar. Your dad goes, right? The father is considered to be the one who provides the financial security for his family, even though the mother might be earning more. Doesn't matter. This is how God's created us. Not only is it your earthly father, it could be someone who has significance, a male authority. So it could be like a teacher, it could be an uncle or grandpa. And then siblings and friends. Siblings or friends are the ones who meet the needs of friendship and companionship and communication. And it's our siblings, isn't it? It's our friends that we're able to share our deepest secrets, right? Yeah. So, how long did I say we were going to need, Clive? 8 minutes. Yeah. And then just finally, it's the mother. The mother is the one who comforts us. You know, when we've hurt ourselves, it's mum that we go to, isn't it, to put plaster over. Or if someone's hurt our feelings, it's mum that we go to. But if mum is controlling and makes sure that we know that she's not pleased with our opinions and decisions, we learn that we need to be perfect to keep someone happy with us. So with the Godhead, every relationship we have with our earthly father, mother, or siblings and friends will actually come out of how we relate with the Godhead. So the tools are very simple, and I'm going to just do an activation where it's literally step by step, where we just go right in there. We ask Holy Spirit to just reveal any lies we've believed, any one we need to forgive, and then we hand that lie to Father God, Jesus, or Holy Spirit, depending on which area or person that you're struggling with, that Holy Spirit reveals to you. So we are going to now just, well, before I do this, I just want to say thank you, Clive, and let's just honour him because he's been so courageous in doing this. He hasn't done this yet. But we're just going to, yeah, if we could just give Clive a little bit of a welcome and encouragement. Okay, so. Cool.
Unless anyone else wants to get up.
So.
No, just two is fine. They've just got to tiny it down there. Okay. Once I woke up.
So, as okay. I said, this is stepping out, guys, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Is that one still on,
yeah.
Sam? You sorted it. Okay, there we go.
Okay, so I'm just going to demonstrate. We're just going to do a demo. But as you're watching, don't be just someone watching.
Can I interrupt someone? Is there a way I want to come down here? Because you know when I come in,
you come in, come on, quickly.
I can't keep this to myself.
Oh, yeah. See, the problem is, Swaley's got a really good right hand. You know? And, yeah.
Swaley wants to sit in the seat.
It's all right. No, you've got to be very quick, though.
All right.
About a minute.
The last 2 weeks been about me, yeah? About me coming up here, being tested and everything else. But, you know, when I left here last week, Clive and Colin went over there. I keep doing that when I keep coming in. So Clive put me on the door today. I had a story. This story is really important. Everyone's got to listen to this. The other day, I threw my walking stick away. Look at me now. Look, man, come on. But listen what happened. On Wednesday, I was riding my bike, and I've just done like 8 miles on my bike, or 9 miles, and I was coming through Hackney Wick, and something told me, and this story is true. I threw my bike on the floor and there was an old man with a woman standing behind them, nice African couple, It looked like he just had a stroke and he's come out of hospital, but he was on the frame. I stood at the side of the thing praying for him. I couldn't believe what was happening. It's God on his truth. And the woman stood back and let him walk. And I kept praying and praying. And he was really, really struggling. And I went, you know, saying, believe in the Spirit and you're gone. And she said to me, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. She went, God bless you. And then she started praying for me. What a miracle that was. I don't know why I just put my bike down. I really don't. I just got off my bike and I was tired. I want to go home. And that's what actually happened to me. But since then, I kept it to myself. And today I had to tell everyone. But Clive stopped me because he put me on the door.
Love them stories. Praise the Lord. Do you know what? It's an adventure. God wants adventures for all of us. We need to all step out Angela, because she doesn't like Chan like I don't like Sharp. I did tell you about 2 months ago that you was preaching. So the rest of you that are preaching in the summer, look at your notes. It's in there. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. So anyway, so where are we? We're doing the Father's...
Father letter. Okay. So let's just pray.
Lord, I do thank you that you are with us. Lord, that you care. That you know my heart, you know Angela's heart and every heart in this place. Lord, we pray for freedom today. Mm. Honesty from each heart to you, God, by your Spirit. That we could be released and set free in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. So I'm going to just ask you, Clyde, to just close your eyes. And just say, Father God.
Father God.
Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
Where are you right now?
Where are you right now?
Let me know when you hear.
Straight off.
Yeah, go on.
He just says straight off, I'm here.
Mm. Amen. So just follow me in prayer. Father, so can I just ask, have you got siblings?
Yeah.
And can I ask, who do you feel most comfortable praying to? Is it Father God, Holy Spirit, or Jesus?
I honestly have never struggled with either of them.
So who in particular would you like to pray to today?
Father.
Father, great. So just follow me. Father God. Is there anything I need to forgive my earthly dad for?
Is there anything I need to forgive my earthly father for?
Do you feel, sense, see, or hear anything?
Yeah. See, it was my dad was a really can I open my eyes.
Yeah.
All right. So, and it's not weird, guys. It's just you pray. It just feels like that, okay? But my dad was a really good provider. He worked 7 days a week, and but not so good on a lot of the playing the football, advice, wisdom, and all that kind of stuff. Love, particularly. Never hugged me once. I think I was about 30 when I bought a house, and that was the first time he said well done and shook my hand. Mm-hmm. And never before that. So I think, as you were saying it, Angela, forgive him for sitting there and getting out of it on whiskey and cider of a night time and just becoming the most argumentative person you'll ever meet in your life. It was just horrible. And just them years where I just couldn't stand being in the same room as him. Mm. And,
So just follow me in prayer. Mm. Father God. I choose to forgive my dad. For not spending time with me. For not showing me his love.
for not sharing me his love.
For not showing me how much he valued me.
For not showing me how much he valued me.
Yeah.
Power of God on me now, right now in the heart is a massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father God.
Oh Lord. Mm.
And I let my dad off. Yeah. And I bless him. Yeah.
You know, if something else has come up, Angela.
Yeah, go on.
It's that my mum, bless her, she was abused as a kid by a stepdad, and because of that, she never dealt with it. And so she used to scream and shout every day. I hated it. You know, I actually spent as little time indoors as I could. I was always out making camps and all that kind of... Couldn't handle being indoors because anything that went wrong, she would just scream at the top of her voice. And I had a massive anger rise up inside me that led me to fight a lot as the years went on.
Yeah. And, so, let's just go there.
Yeah.
So I choose to forgive my mum.
I choose to forgive my mum.
For teaching me anger.
For teaching me anger. Thank you, Lord.
And I choose to forgive my dad.
And I choose to forgive my dad.
For not being the cover that he should have been to me.
For not being the cover that he should have been to me.
And to my mum.
And to my mum. Mm.
Yeah. Are you hearing anything else, Clive?
Yeah, I think for me it's I've done all the forgiveness stuff before, but I never saw that my dad should have protected me. Inside, I used to cry out, "Dad, why don't you just stick up for yourself?"
Yeah.
Where she nagged him, shouted at him, made him look like a maggot every day of his life, and it was awful to live through, awful, You know, and I love my dad. Well, he's gone now. He's passed.
Yeah.
The good side of him, but you know, and my mum. I knew she loved me, but but it's never dealt with her own stuff, and it spilled out.
Just follow me, Father God.
Father God,
what's the lie I'm believing about my mum?
What's the lie I'm believing about my mum? There's something I battle with, but you know, that's I've always felt my mum shut me out of a life not long after a business took off, and I became successful. She's a very jealous person, and she couldn't handle it. Three times she cut me out, and of her life, and I always waited to go back for the fourth time. Three times I had to go back to try and make it up, and she did, and then. Couple of months later, she cut me out of life again. Don't want to, but I've held off in visiting her again because, in case she rejected me again.
Yeah.
And the last thing that happened, just so that people know, I guess, and I know all this, is that I did when my dad was dying of cancer. I wrote him a letter and said, "Dad, you know, it'd be great to see you before you pass." Apparently there was a family meeting And I've only ever helped the family. And there's never been any abuse in any way other than the screaming, shouting, and the occasional battering that we got. But I've always felt that if I go back, then she would shut the door, slam the door. But I kind of think she still would. So, okay. You know, I'll tell you the letter I wrote, that they just decided, they said to themselves, no, we don't want to meet up. Mm. And that's it. Mm. So, but I know my mum still loves me.
Yes.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know she does. But she's so proud and jealous and messed up.
I just want to lead you in just breaking some unhealthy soul ties here. So just say, yeah, Father God, I choose to forgive my mum.
Father God, I choose to forgive my mum.
For being afraid.
For being afraid.
And shutting me out.
And shutting me out.
Knowing that this is her way.
Knowing this is her way.
Of protecting herself.
Of protecting herself.
Mm. And I let her off.
And I let her off, Lord.
And I bless her.
And I bless her.
And I break off.
And I break off.
All unhealthy soul ties.
All unhealthy soul ties.
With my mum.
With my mum.
And I receive back.
And I receive back.
Anything of me.
Anything of me.
Attached to mum.
Attached to mum.
Washed in the blood of Jesus.
Washed in the blood of Jesus.
And I break off.
And I break off.
Any unhealthy soul ties.
Any unhealthy soul ties.
Of mum.
Of mum.
Attached to me.
Attached to me.
And I send it back to her.
And I send it back to her.
Washed in the blood of Jesus.
Washed in the blood of Jesus.
And I release.
And I release.
Mum from any judgments.
Mum from any judgments.
I've made about her.
I have made about her.
And I hand her.
And I hand her.
Into your loving care.
Into your loving care.
Yeah.
Mm. I can just feel the power of God really powerfully right now.
Amen. Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For restoring to me.
For restoring to me.
What is my own?
What is my own?
Washed.
Washed.
Clean.
Clean.
And made whole.
And made whole. Thank you, Lord.
So, let's go. Father God.
Father God.
Is there a lie I'm believing about you?
Is there a lie I'm believing about you?
Because of this relationship.
Because of this relationship. Kind of hearing that the Lord saying that you don't believe I'm always here for you, but at the same time I'm thinking, well, I do believe you're always there for me, and maybe it's to a deeper level.
Yeah.
And that you know.
Yeah. So let's go, Father God.
Father God.
Forgive me for believing this lie.
Forgive me for believing this lie.
That you're not always there for me.
That you're not always there for me.
And I no longer partner with this lie.
And I no longer partner with this lie.
And I hand it over to you.
And I hand it over to you.
Father God.
Father God.
Just, you can just picture yourself handing it over to him.
Such a messed up situation. And you know, life should not be like that for a child.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, but I've got to say that I do understand why my mum was like she was, and why my dad was like, because he had no dad. And but it doesn't stop the damage that was done, you know. So thank you, Lord, for the freedom.
So just say, Father
thank
God.
Thank you, Lord. Father God.
What do you have for me in exchange?
What do you have for me in exchange? Mm-hmm. really the power of God. He's so on me right now. I can really sense it massively. Oh, God. I'll be totally honest, I don't know what he's doing, but it feels good. Thank you, Lord.
More, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Just ask, Father God, what do you think of me?
Father God, what do you think of me? There was a time when I gave all this to God in South London. And some guy, Lawrence Conger, just preached on fatherhood. Mm. And I sat upstairs in tears and I just felt God saying, I'm going to be a father from now on.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a father. But just now I've just felt that the father was saying that it's going to be fun. We're going to have fun together.
Amen.
And not just the covering of love and care and the rest of it, but fun as well.
Yeah, come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, so let's go. Father God.
Father God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That we're going to have some fun together.
That we're going to have some fun together.
Amen.
Do it, Lord.
Do it, Lord. More, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well Amen. Done, Ty.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I was just going to finish
we're over.
What is the time? Yeah. Just if there's anything that you wanted to share, I know you've been talking through what's been going on, but how are you feeling now after?
Okay, so how it felt was just an increased, a really increased presence of God, and that something was going on. I can't say that I know all that was going on, but just that maybe the damage that was done in my early years, that God got a bit deeper into my heart work that through. And although I felt I'd forgiven, and I can understand why they were like they were, you know, but it didn't stop what they did and the damage. And that maybe just comfort and joy, really, of that. So I'm pleased I went through it. So.
Well done.
Praise the Lord. Okay, guys, we have run over.
We have.
And I know Angela's up here. If any of that touched you and you want Angela to pray for you, please come up front. Teas and coffee's over there. And let's give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. Woo! Well done, Angela.